You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS 104.1 FM KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Bernie Miklas will be with us at 2:30. Lots to talk about. Ooh. But first, we're going to talk about my lack of sexiness.
Oh, all right.
Now, thank God I don't make my living with it.
You don't?
Or do I?
Maybe.
Yeah, over the weekend, I found out what it's like to shop for, purchase, and use wart cream.
Oh, did you figure out you had a wart?
I figured out I got something.
Okay.
So,
because you said last week, I think I'm getting a wart.
Back of me hand.
Yeah.
Don't make me show it to you.
No, I got a little something.
Don't make me show you the back of my hand. I got a little something there, too. What's going on with this show?
You got one, too?
And Andrew does, too.
Get out. Kevin, check your hands.
I just got 18,000 freckles, so I'll never know if there's anything there.
Yeah. Well, check if one of them is higher than the others.
Yeah.
Mine is on my first knuckle of my pointer finger on my right hand.
Mm.
Mine is on the middle knuckle of my left hand.
Mine is in between the ring and pinky.
If we put them together, I bet it makes the belt of Orion.
I believe we have a treasure map on our hand, folks.
Yeah, I think we do.
You guys are all lined up on the way lines for the Earth.
I can't confirm this is Power Rangers related, but I do believe it to be so.
Seems to be working in just a couple of days.
Can I see your wart?
Sure, I'll walk over.
Okay, thanks. I would like to see it. I don't know if I have a wart or if I just have
I would
like
to see the baby.
We're going to compare marks on our hands.
Okay, yours is definitely like, you've been treating it too, so it's like dried out.
Okay.
Yeah, you see that? Does that look like a wart to you?
It could be a ganglion cyst.
Well, I kind of thought it might be a zit, but I don't want to pop it and then... You know, be wrong.
Yeah, you don't need one of those days where you're popping a zit on the back of your hand.
No.
That's not great for anybody. Dave says it's wart Voltron. Yeah, Joel, I got the old Compound W.
There you go.
Does it hurt when you put it on?
No, not at all. And in fact, it obviously just dries it because it's kind of...
And it'll fall out.
Scaly and peeling and stuff. Yeah. Hey, everybody. but when you put it on, it's kind of like Elmer's glue.
Uh-huh.
Fun.
You can peel that off, which I did a couple times.
Do they still freeze warts ever?
Oh, I'm sure someone
I think so when they cut them out.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if they're going to cut them out, then in a doctor's office or whatever, probably.
I had one on my chin when I was a kid, and it was like a witch wart. Mm. It grew out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a planter's wart, something like that.
Ah.
And I had to get it burned off. And I still remember so vividly just laying there in my doctor's office and seeing like this. Maybe I'm making this part up, but I swear there was smoke coming off my face.
Okay.
Yeah, there definitely was.
Could you smell it?
Yes.
Yeah, they were burning the flesh. Absolutely was.
Very troubling.
The smell of your own burning flesh. What a nice memory.
Yes.
Well, anyway, three of the four members of the show might have a wart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You hope it's a wart.
You guys stay where you are.
Certainly hope for.
Yeah, how do you get a wart on your hand?
I have no idea.
I remember like growing up, there were these kids that I would hang out with who often had warts on their hands. And I always thought it was because they were like playing with frogs or something.
That was the old wives' tale. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know where these warts are coming from.
How?
Who is this warty family?
Yeah, we're all picturing.
Rachel's like, I used to wander into the deep woods where I would see the wart
like
folk.
Like a leper colony right. or something.
I would see the frog folk. Out of the woods.
We must have like the biggest dummies to medical people. How do you get wort?
That's a fair question.
So how are we supposed to know?
Apparently, according to AI, the warts are caused by HPV.
Oh, that's just great.
Well, yeah. And that's not okay.
There are over 150 types.
Could have said that off the air.
Yes, you could have said that to us.
Every person in the world has had a wart, which means everybody's had this thing. There's 150 different types of all that stuff. Yeah, you can get them from a if you get a cut and a scrape, and that can lead to it.
Matthew says, first, boogers on chairs. Warts are contagious and based on area and location.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think that's true.
We're all gonna come to work tomorrow with eyes closed because the warts are covering them, and we're like, no, I still think it's fine, guys.
They have to hit us with the HPV thing.
Well, I mean, it's just...
That was unbelievable.
He's like, oh, here it is.
He's like, oh, I figured it out. It's caused by HPV.
Be honest.
It says right here only the most morally bankrupt people are capable.
Yeah, that's what it says. It's only the sickies.
It's called a wart or deviance bump, as it's also called.
All right, from now on, I just won't read when things come up.
Yes, we appreciate that.
Not if it's HPV.
Well, you're accusing all three of your co-hosts.
I'll be honest with you guys. At the moment I read it, I wasn't really registering what that was.
Yeah, you're just reading. Blind.
Said that I did a burgundy. I'm like Ron Burgundy in that thing.
HPV. I'm not sure what that stands for, but that's what it is.
But there are 150 different versions of that.
Yeah,
and there's some that just cause warts.
We seem to all have the same version.
Well. Sorry about that.
Kevin, I love how Kevin tried. Great. Next time, I just won't read you your diagnosis live in front of 100,000 people.
A, it's not a diagnosis. It's an AI note. And B, I just read what
next time
there.
The computer tells me that everybody around me has STDs, I'm just not even going to say anything then.
Well, I mean, clearly everybody has had it because everybody's had a wart.
I just have a million freckles.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's something
that's
under
what
there.
I'm worried. I would almost rather this be a wart than the other thing I think it might be, which is like a sun response of some kind.
Easy.
Being out in the sun too much.
Now, that's my little worry every day. Yeah.
Don't speak it into existence. Just go to like a Walgreens clinic and talk to them. Even a pharmacy should be able to help you.
You're like, what's up with this wart?
They're like, it's HPV!
Into the intercom on the into the store intercom.
Help.
Does he have less chill than me?
Me?
In that certain case.
Oh, I don't have much chill, no. And it, again, probably should help to read it first out silently before reading it out loud.
Did you guys hear about the mushroom murderess?
What?
No.
I just saw the story.
Pretty interesting.
Don't call her a murderess. I hate stuff like
Why?
That.
Why?
Because it's like she's a murderer. She doesn't get to be like, I'm a hot murderer.
Murderess like, is sexy.
Well, doubt she was hot.
Murderess is, she's okay looking.
Based you got on a little crush on the murderess?
Based on the, she's a real murderess
of
in my.
Of course you have a crush.
In my
you
mind.
You have no chance, HPV boy.
Let me see.
Right,
oh, okay, never mind. No, this is not the lady that I thought it was.
Who was it?
The mushroom murderess.
Well, who did you think was hot?
Her from, like, really far away.
What?
This is not the lady I thought it was.
Why? What would make the term murderess seem sexy?
Because it's like, you know, the S on
like
the
seductress.
End of anything.
Murderous.
Yeah, temptress, seductress, murderess.
Femme fatale.
Actress.
Exactly. Yes, it makes her sound like a femme fatale.
Buttress. She's a buttress. Anywho.
Yeah, what'd she do?
Go on.
She invited her ex-husband, who's the only one who didn't come over, and his family.
He's the only one who knew.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's not going near you, lady.
He invited, she invited him, his parents, and his aunt to come over for beef Wellington.
Yum.
And she used, what are they called? Death button mushrooms.
That'll do it.
And the and she was like, oh, fiddly D, I just wanted to jazz it up for my ex's family. And then they found that she had bought some sort of device
that cuts and takes the moisture out of mushrooms, and then she threw it away in a dumpster the day after she bought it, and it had residue from the death mushrooms and her fingerprints on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Right. So she made them all delicious beef Wellingtons, and they all got super sick and went to the hospital, and then she did one of these. Oh, I don't feel good either. I might have the vapors. And so she went to the hospital as well. Like, I think I've been poisoned as well. Well, nice try. She wasn't.
Because she didn't eat it.
Yeah, she didn't eat it.
Impressive to still go through with it after your main target doesn't show up.
I'm not sure what the long game was here.
Yeah. And it's also funny how often people like that do, like you said, they have the residue with the fingerprints and the trash can outside their house, or they've Googled recently, like, how to poison husband and get away with it and not go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
2025. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is, I forget which, whether it was a documentary or just a TV show, but I was watching one yesterday, or Susan was, and I was cooking and, like, you know, watching but not watching. It was a police officer who abducted a lady, killed her, and then, like, and also, like, left his gun near the scene and then reported his gun stolen, but said, don't investigate it, it's fine. Don't look for it, don't worry about it, it's fine. And it said that he lost his wallet too, but then he got stopped in traffic and like the next day, and he used his license that identified, like that he supposedly lost. Mm. And that was like, this guy could not cook up a story as a police officer that was...
Doesn't sound like he's very good at either one.
No, I guess not. Yeah, guess not.
Matthew says that Kevin was cooking up death mushrooms.
I was making death mushrooms. I wasn't really watching the show.
He hates mushrooms. He
would. I do. I would never touch a mushroom. You mushrooms. Offer me a beef Wellington, I'm going to say no thank you.
Also, in a related story, half of all murderers get away with it scot-free.
Really?
I've always wondered that. 50%.
Half?
Yeah.
Half. Now? How? Like modern times?
Yeah, modern times.
Wow.
I think it's... I've always said this. When people turn up dead on the news, shooting, I really doubt they're not putting Starsky and Hutch on that case, right? So it's like when there's something in the news, they're probably going to find out who did it. But when it's just a more random shooting somewhere, I doubt they're putting their best people on
it. And I think they still, I think the first 48 still generally applies to solving these things.
Like, no, that's true, yeah.
If you shoot somebody and they don't figure out it's you within the first 48 hours, there's like a 90% lower chance of them finding out.
So what do you think the catch-em rate was 50 years ago?
Oh, God.
25%?
10, 20, 25.
Because, I mean, before DNA and all the video cameras everywhere and you could track people's credit cards, like before, how in the world did anybody get caught other than somebody seeing you do it?
Yeah, you have to be witnessed with a big bag of mushrooms with a big skull and crossbones on it.
And even then, you could just be like, that wasn't me. And
yeah, that wasn't me.
Like, man, damn it.
That was my long-lost twin, and they're like, oh, she has a twin.
Well, it made me think of it, like, I've been rewatching Deadwood. And obviously, people get killed there, and you're like, well, never going to have to worry about that guy again because nobody's coming looking. Like,
yeah,
really? That must have been a wild time to be alive. You better be good with the gun.
He's adorable.
Dude, otherwise they're
coming to get you. You better be slinging that iron.
If you're just one of the hoople heads, you're done. You know, you crossed the wrong person. You just disappeared. Nobody's ever going to find out who did it. I guess the message is don't be a hoople head.
That's the message.
Sounds like something Joe Biden would say.
Welcome back, DGS 222. So I committed the culinary unpardonable sin on the 4th of July, and had a hot dog with ketchup.
Why?
And I stand beside it. Beside it? Stand by it. It's how I grew up. I didn't have mustard until later.
What's wrong with ketchup?
Oh, you're a Hoosier. You're a loser. It's terrible if you put ketchup on a hot dog.
David, who is saying these things to you?
Oh, there are hot dog elitists.
My mom and dad said it a lot.
They were the elitists.
The last thing my mom said.
The concept of your mom and dad calling you a Hoosier is very funny.
Yeah.
You guys have never heard this?
I have heard
it. Oh, no, it's a thing.
I don't think you should be putting ketchup on your hot dog, personally. I think I like ketchup. I do. I like it with my French fries and various things.
Yep.
I don't want that on a hot dog. I want mustard and relish and onions.
But for those who
adult chili
things.
Or
I had thought
cheese.
That like that was like the St. Louis way to eat a hot dog was like ketchup, mustard, relish. That was like the base level.
I think the way it's described by the snobbery is that ketchup is fine if it's included with the others, but not by itself because they look at that like you're a child. Like that's what kids do because kids put ketchup on everything. But I don't think anybody should be judged for eating hot dogs the way they want to. Except for if you're dunking them in water and eating 70 of them.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah, I think there's nothing. Like I said, I grew up with that. I thought that was the way to do it. I didn't
it's
think there's
the
anything.
It's the Illinois way.
Okay.
It's the East Side dog.
I had no idea there was anything wrong with
it. It's the downstate Illinois way. It's not the Chicago way. The Chicago people are the ones that make fun.
All right, mister. You don't.
I'm not on their side. I didn't grow up there either.
Well, let's not compare us Chicago.
I'm just
folks
telling you that it's not an Illinois
it's
thing.
It's the downstate Illinois thing.
It's not an Illinois thing because it ain't up there. Up there, they're going to judge you harsh if it's not Jardiniere or something.
Stop saying words.
I like how I was the one who was like, yeah, I don't think you should be doing that. And yet Kevin is taking all the heat.
Well, because Kevin was like, whoa, he was like one of those separatists. He's like, whoa, now we need to draw the line.
Don't
lump Chicago in. Yeah, remember I had to vote on like whether or not Chicago should secede from the rest, or rather the rest of Illinois should secede from Chicago.
What'd you vote?
Absolutely, 100% yes. We need to get them out of there, those hot dog freaks.
Yeah, you don't want all that money, do you?
No, I'm kidding. I obviously. Then I found out that Madison County was like one of the only counties that voted, like, period. Like, it wasn't on the ballot anywhere else.
Oh,
and it's like a totally fake, made up thing.
Embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Super embarrassing.
Oh, my goodness.
Just put it on their ballot. Shut them
super
up.
Super embarrassing.
Make them think that Chicago's going to succeed.
Literally.
Now, they're up there, though, they are super judgy about that. And I think they might be you know what? New York's pretty judgy about it, too. Mm.
What's a New York hot dog? That one I actually don't know. I used to know all these.
Yeah. Isn't it like mustard and onions and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a little something extra, but definitely onions for sure.
None of this matters. You know why? Because the universe is going to end in 7 billion years.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We thought we had trillions. Like every show I've ever seen is trillions. But the newest study, the newest peer-reviewed, these guys got it. They believe in the big crunch, that the big bang, it was thought that we're going to accelerate for infinity because it's like getting faster. Everything's moving away from everything else in the universe faster and faster. But now they think that there's an end to it, and then we're going to have the big crunch, and it's all going to run backwards.
Well,
and we might run backwards as well. So we could have another chance at this life, but we just run it backwards.
What?
Am I a bad person that this doesn't emotionally affect me in any way?
You had a lot to say about ketchup on hot dogs.
Yeah, because that's here and now, man. That's billions of years after. We're
like,
already nothing.
I thought I had a trillion. Turns out I only have a billion. Like, either way, it ain't
that's
my
why
problem.
I think so many of these numbers. Passed.
About 4 billion years from now, Dave's going to take the ketchup off his hot dog.
I mean, anything
and I won't have a wart.
Anything that's more than 50 years, I mean,
wow,
not my concern.
Well, that's why I think all this is like made up. Like you say, peer reviewed. It's like, well, you know, we only have 12 trillion years, and you go, oh, dang. And then they go, well, actually, wait a minute, sorry, it's more like 7 billion. And then you go, oh, dang.
B Calhoun says ketchup's fine in Rosewood Heights.
All right, there you go.
There you go. Wonder if that's Betsy. I went to school with a Betsy Calhoun.
Mm.
Wonder if it's Michael just out there.
Yeah, we did the
Not to speak for Rosewood.
I'm going by B.
Yeah.
Sitting at his desk doing the news, and he writes, like, I like ketchup on my hot dogs.
We're just reading.
Yeah, we're just reading the comments that are coming in.
We're going to go now.
Once the show, since we started streaming, we all just go nonverbal and, like.
Ooh, what's she going to say?
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yes. So do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, DGS, time to talk to our pal Bernie Miklas. Hello, Bern.
How are we doing on this fine Monday?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. So I was asking my friend Kevin Wheeler a question, and you'll never believe it. He had an answer. it's a really long one. But I asked, how is it that you go into Chicago on July 4th and you, one, don't have Sonny Gray pitching, and two, you do have Fetty pitching? And Wheels, you want to run through it real quick?
Or- we thought, Bernie, because I told him there's actually, you know, explanations that we can consider on either direction, right? They could have left things essentially alone, and with an off day this past Thursday, had Sonny pitch in both of those series against the Cubs. But what we don't know is how the player is telling the team that he feels at any given point, right? So, you know, there's a great, it's a great question, I think, from a fan's perspective and as observers, like, why don't you want your best guy facing your biggest rival in big games? But if he's telling you he needs extra rest or his recoveries have been slow or whatever, you got to listen to the player. So what we don't know is that part, but it is interesting that that wasn't set up and the All-Star break is coming up. So it's, I think they're valid questions, but I also think that there are valid potential answers that the team could give us.
Yeah, and we'll have Ollie Marmol on tomorrow, the Gas House Gang. We'll ask him that because I'm sure, you know, I'm sure it has something to do with Sonny Gray's maintenance. Yeah. You know, I know that a segment of the fan base thinks Ollie Marmol's like the dumbest manager at any level of any time in the history of mankind. But I don't think Ollie Marmol is going to like, if with a healthy and fully functional Sonny Gray, I would doubt that he would set up his rotation to where Gray would miss the Cubs in both series. But on top of that, so no, it's a valid question. And I appreciate the fact that you also said that, yeah, there could be a valid answer for that question. So anyway, but you know, the Cardinals are 4-7 in their last 11 games, and in the last 11 games, Fetty or Michaelis has made five of the starts.
Wow.
5 of the 11 starts, and these guys are horrible. And the Cardinals lost 4 of the 5 starts, and the only game that they won started by one of those dudes was when Michaelis gave up 6 runs in 4 innings at Cleveland, and the Cardinals rallied for a 9-6 win.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get any credit for that.
Nope.
Listen, here's what's happening with this team. The starting pitching has collapsed, and except for Sonny Gray, basically. I mean, Libertor's had some problems. Palante's had some problems. They're okay. But other than Sonny Gray, the collective ERA with the other guys is pretty scary. And then the other thing, the offense has gone kaput. And, you know, you can make all excuses you want about Ivan Herrera not being there, Contreras being banged up, Arenado being banged up. But this team, their last 7 losses, all to the Cubs or the Pirates, they got shut out 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at where they are this year, they've been shut out 9 times already. And last season, in 162 games, they were shut out only 6 times. The Cardinals have been held to 1 run or no runs 23 times this season already. Last year, that happened the entire season only 24 times. So you know, if you look at these 7 losses, let me just read you 10 names, if I could. Brendan Donovan, Nolan Arenado, Alec Burleson, Wilson Contreras, Nolan Gorman, Lars Nootbaar, Pedro Páez, Thomas Ejiofor, Victor Scott, and Mason Wynn. In the 7 losses, They were 23 hits, 186 at bats, a 124 batting average with three runs batted in.
Man.
And also in the seven losses, the Cardinals as a team went 4-for-45 with runners in scoring position. That's 0-88. So, I mean, there's no mystery what's happening here. But there is a minor miracle. The Cardinals are still somehow only one game out in the wild card race.
This is the most, maybe that's an exaggeration because recency bias will always creep into my head, but this is one of the most bizarre teams that I feel like I've covered since 2006 because it's everything is all or nothing. When the offense is good, they're awesome and they score 8 runs or 10 runs. When they're not, they're nothing. It's a zero. And the whole season is just one streak after another. It's a bad streak to start the year, and then a great streak, and then a bad streak, and then a good streak, and then a bad streak. And it's just like, I can't make sense of it.
Can I give you the fans' perspective? When Pozo hit that ball, I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm almost tearing up, and I'm like, we'll remember this game when we win the World Series. And then I knew Fetty was coming up the next day, and I'm like, he could pull it out. And then they hang an 11 on us, and you're just like, oh, for the love. For the love.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is, we hear the Cardinals talking about, listen, Miles Mikolas, you know, basically forfeited the game Friday. Now, he didn't literally forfeit, but
right.
When you give up 6 home runs in the first 3 innings, I mean, you know, you're not going to win the game. But that said, the Cardinals offense was a no-show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They were a no-show again on Sunday. And number one, with all this talk and all this complaint, oh, we're tired. We haven't enough days off. We're so tired. Oh, the guys will get a day's rest. We'll come charging into Wrigley Field. They came out flat on Friday.
Yep.
And then on Dave, to your point, what the Cardinals did in rallying in the 8th inning Saturday with the big blow from Pozo, that was an inspirational thing. I mean, I was fired up. You were fired up. Wheels was fired up. Cardinals fans were fired up.
Yeah.
How can you come out the next night and be so flat again? I mean, you know, that's not cool, man. That just isn't cool. So I do believe the Cardinals have a good – they're a very competitive team. I do believe they care very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
But for these recent 7 losses, I can't say what we've said so many times where, quote, they've competed their tail off. Not in those 7 games.
No, and I continue to be frustrated by the lack of creativity that comes from the organization. We've been watching this. So I did some of this last night, Bernie, and I'm not going to bore everybody, but since June 1st, Eric Fetty has a 6.33 ERA, and his expected ERA is in the bottom 7% in baseball, which means 93% of pitchers are better than that. 93%. Mm-hmm. Miles Mikolas is a 7.59 ERA since June 1st. So this is more than a month, and it's expected at 5.25. He's in the bottom 10%, which means 90% are better, and they don't try anything. You don't try an opener. You don't replace one of them and move someone off on a injury, some kind of injured list thing, or long relief in the bullpen, and you can be there in case of emergency. And I don't know what it takes to actually try something.
Listen, they have, when I said the starting pitching is collapsing, some people might think, oh, you're being a little dramatic. No, I don't think I am.
No, you're not.
Since May the 25th, and that's a while back now, right? That's more than a month. That's 6-7 weeks ago. Since May the 25th, they ranked 27th among the 30 teams in starting rotation ERA. Now, Miles Mikolas, that should have been his last start as a Cardinal, but we know John Mozeliak's not going to designate him for assignment. I think Ollie Marmol is going to want to skip over Fetty next time and have McGreevy make the start. But Fetty will still be part of your team, and then at some point the front office will want him starting because maybe he puts a couple good starts together before the deadline and they can get something for him. But to your point, Wheels, and I wish I had some exact numbers on this, well, people say, well, you know, they don't have much depth at Memphis starting pitching. Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can it be worse than what we've seen? I mean, you could put a random guy out there and give you a 7.5 ERA.
Right, and the Cardinals have also they've also had the healthiest rotation in the major leagues this year, and so I hear Mo say that all the time. With all due respect, I don't want to hear it anymore. Because I say, well, we can't bring McGreevy up because we don't have much behind him in Memphis. Well, what are you worrying about Memphis for?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that goes along with that, to Wheel's point, I don't have the exact numbers. Two of the best dang teams in baseball, the Tigers and the Dodgers, use openers. They use bullpen games whenever it makes sense.
Yeah.
Or when and they don't hesitate.
Nope.
I mean, the Tigers had three starters out for a long period of time. And A.J. Hinch just stitched together bullpen game after bullpen game after bullpen game, and he got his team through. But to your point, there is no creativity here. Part of it is Ollie Marmol is hamstrung by the guy making the roster decisions. But even with that, I think that Ollie could probably be a little more creative, and I'm going to ask him about that tomorrow.
So Sonny Gray is a there's a term of art that Ricky Horton uses, but basically he throws as hard as he can on every pitch. Eric Fetty is not that. Is there a chance if we told Eric Fetty, you're going to be that because you're going to the bullpen, we only need a couple of innings from you whenever you go in? I mean, is he just a lost cause or can he be turned into something positive?
I think he's got to get his confidence back. He has the classic look of a beaten man, you know. He's like a fighter sitting on his stool before the 10th round, and he's done. And he doesn't want to go back out there, like, because he doesn't think he's got anything to give. So he's in a bad way mentally right now. His confidence is shot. But I don't know how he would do in a relief role. I mean, his stuff's not there. I mean, there's nothing working for him right now. But if they do keep him out, well, we only got a week to the All-Star game.
Right, right.
But if he can work some bullpens, maybe he'll find something. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out, but you're going to have to at least try him in a relief role unless the front office pulls McGreevy and puts him back to Memphis after one start.
Yeah, he's a fascinating case because, again, on both of these guys, I've been trying to watch video. I've been looking at various things that can be measured. And if you look at Fetty, his strikeout rate from last year to this year is down 30%. His walk rate is up 43%. His hard hit rate against him is up 27%.
Well, and, yeah, and
that's with no loss of velocity. Velocity is exactly the same.
He's thrown batting practice.
Yeah.
Same with Michaelis.
Yeah. And
so I don't know what he has in his arsenal that can change that in a dramatic way.
Again, I agree. And it's crazy is like a lot of the pitch characteristics are the same as last year. Spin rates are the same. His arm angle at release is about the same. It's like a degree or two different, but not that much. It's command. He's throwing too many fat ones, which is also Miles Michaelis. He got two guys that throw 92 over the middle of the plate too much.
and also they're getting pounded for home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, since May the 20th, those two guys have allowed 20 home runs between them.
Go ahead, Byrne.
So the location's not there. And at least Michaelis, and this is a faint compliment, but at least he doesn't walk a bunch of guys. You know, Fetty walks a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But Michaelis serves them up down the middle, and so does Fetty. So what do you do with that? The StatCast stuff is very telling, and you look and say, well, there's nothing wrong here. This is in line with last year. But as you added at the end, but not if you're throwing meatballs down the middle.
No.
So one last question.
Yep.
We now know that we clearly need the middle of our rotation, whether we do it at the trade deadline or we do it in the offseason. And you don't just get those guys for free. The Cardinals don't like writing big checks, which means we're going to trade somebody.
Yep.
So how does that shake out in your mind?
Well, I think one thing is, you know, you trade Ryan Helsley and maybe some team will be desperate enough to give you a up-and-coming starting pitcher. If this is a team that would have to have really good starting pitching depth, and maybe they will give you, in exchange for Helsley, a younger pitcher who hasn't really made his mark in the majors yet, but could be part of your rotation in 26 and 27, and there's a chance he'd be good. Maybe I'm dreaming, but that's one thing. The other thing is, I'm going to go back to something Kevin Wheeler said a couple weeks ago or so here on the Dave Glover Show, which is, you know, you got to be creative, and sometimes, you know, it might mean doing something, you know, uncomfortable, but you trade something to get something. You can give up something, but also get better.
Yeah.
There are a lot of teams addicted to StatCast, and they all love Lars Nootbaar. He is like Babe Ruth to these people, okay? Because everyone tells us he should be a great hitter, but he's not. And so maybe there is a desperate team out there that needs a left-handed bat, particularly in the outfield. They love the StatCast stuff. Oh, we'll get them going. Maybe you offer Nootbaar around and you see if it'll bring you in a starting pitcher that will be with you for a couple years at least, and maybe something else. I mean, you got to try something. You just got to try something. And one other opportunity that may have been missed, listen, and no offense to if any of you have said this, no offense to you. I love you. But I'm tired of hearing about, well, boy, Steven Matz has done a great job in the bullpen. Well, he did for a while.
Right.
His bullpen ERA since June the 1st is 7.07. And in his last five appearances, he's given up runs in four of his last five appearances. His ERA over the five games is 9, and he's allowed 4 home runs in 8 innings. But yet I keep hearing or reading people talking about, oh, and he's done such a great job. So they could have repurposed him and put him back in the rotation, and I think he would have had more value approaching the deadline. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. There's no way to back that up with facts, but I know this, like the shelf life about him being a really effective reliever is done. That part's done.
Yep.
Tell us about Sliga, Burn.
I would like to. Thank you. Burning in my
head. Welcome back. You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back DG, Ask 252. Let's keep the sports going. Rachel, tennis, Hawkeye.
Yeah, let me get this story pulled up here.
First of all, how's Wimbledon going?
It's so fun. There have been a lot of upsets, like a lot of seeded players are out, but some key people are still in that I really love to watch. I was telling Andrew earlier, like this whole weekend was just like playing tennis in the morning and then watching every televised nice. Match like the rest of the day. But Wimbledon had an issue with their Hawkeye technology. They switched completely to electronic line judges this year. I really thought this was going to be a bigger deal for some folks because Wimbledon is so about, you know, tradition and we never change anything around here. They got rid of like 300 line judges. They're going fully electronic. There was a match that went on yesterday where the system had been turned off without anyone realizing. Mm-hmm. And a player, it was two women playing, a player hit clearly outside of the line, but you didn't hear the out in the British voice that you're supposed to hear. So the referee like stops play, gets on the phone, having this long conversation, and eventually has to say, okay, since the electronic line judge didn't catch that, it was turned off by human error, somebody turned it off. It wasn't functioning. We now have to replay the point. So they replay the point, and the woman who initially won the point ends up losing. Look, it ended up being fine. She ended up winning the entire match, but she was very mad during the match itself and saying, like, you stole this point from me. You ended up stealing this game from me. Mm. It's just really interesting because we are relying on this technology to tell us, like, to be 100% accurate, but there's still flaws with that. It can get turned off, and then nothing happens. You can't just rely on the old backup of someone telling you what they just saw with their eyes. The point ended up having to be replayed, and it really wasn't fair. Like I said, all shook out fine in the end, but that's not really the point.
Maybe they should have done what baseball's doing and have live referees or umpires, whatever they're called in tennis, and then have a challenge system where they have the Hawkeye at least for a couple of seasons.
That's what they did last year. Is you could challenge.
Yeah,
you could challenge, and it was like very exciting, and it was like, it was out. Like, you know, you were right, blah, blah, blah. Now they're just completely relying on AI, and there is still a problem with the AI.
It's a much bigger story than tennis.
But here's the thing that I run into, and we get into this with baseball with the umpires and either replay or the strike zones being automated. I watched John McEnroe scream at umpires for calls. So players have always been having calls made wrong against them. And this, again, was human error, not the system malfunctioning. So humans, if they're making the call, are going to be more prone to make more mistakes as opposed to one human doing one dumb thing. In this case, why would you turn it off? I mean, whoever was not paying attention to the switch was clearly negligent. But that human judge is going to make way more mistakes than just that one thing, right?
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.